One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Garniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
How much you gonna pay?
And his partner, Fela Tappender Stevenson.
From Echo City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. And some bad news. Some bad news on today's show, but I've had it a wee hamster that I've had for since I was a wee boy, since I was 8 years old. My hamster passed away, but I want to carry on doing the show anyway. But this is for wee Hammy. This show, boys, thanks so much for accommodating me on this show. Grado's joining me and John, producer John's here.
Can we just talk about the awkward conversation that we just had before we hit the record button about the fact that Grado is going to stag do next week and forgot to invite you and then has been worried and stressed about it for 3 months?
Aye. I mean, look, my main priority here is not to go on Grado's stag, it's to get booked for that fucking...
Pavilion show.
Big wrestling bash. That's my main priority. I don't want to go to wherever he's going. It'll be Amsterdam. It'll be fucking somewhere like that, right? You know it's going to be one of these places. It's going to be one of these places. A pit of debauchery is what it's going to be, you know what I mean? And I'm an upstanding man. I can't be doing that. You know what I mean, Grado?
No, I totally get it, mate, but it has been playing on my mind for the last... Sorry, mate, 3 months, but...
I'm going to go. It's my hamster. No,
it's in Saturday, mate, and I thought, I need to tell this guy, man, because I'm going to be putting things up, because I did make an asset. I did think I put it in the Wrestling Daft chat. It's a long story, but we're fine, we're good, we're still on the same page.
Because we're good, we're still on the same page, and I'm not, yeah. Just so the punters know out there, I'm not the type of guy, I'm trying to think here. In fact, I'm going to hit you with an amazing statistic. I've never been on a stag, Ken.
What?
Ever. And actually, I tell a lie. I was on one. I went to Mark Miller, the comic book writer. I went to his stag things.
You went to... Hold on. You went... So the only stag do you've been on is a fucking awful stag do.
But it was in Scotland. And it was like... It was in Scotland. It was like a short trip away. It was in Scotland. And it was like, you know, it was very civilised. But I've never... Apart from that, that's honestly the only stag thing I've ever been on.
Have you ever even taken a draw of a fag?
I've never taken a draw of a fag, no.
Guess what theme song this is?
I've drawn a fag. Right, play a theme song. It's Naked Video.
How good is this for a theme song, man? That is
brilliant.
Definitely an underrated TV theme.
It's so iconic, that Naked Video music, that, you know, anytime I've been working on sketch stuff, whether I've been working on sketch stuff with Ian Connell or working on sketch stuff with Greg Hemphill, see, whenever we're needing some kind of quick wee visual quickie sketches, like wee short ones, we'll always go, no, we're needing here, we're needing a wee... In the middle of the shows, they used to play the music and it would just be like visual stuff, like a guy walking into a lamppost or that kind of stuff, and, you know, the baldy man, like Gregor Fisher's thing. you know, it's a very, very, what a great show that was. Some great stars. In fact, Grado is working with a couple of the cast members of Naked Video.
Aye, Johnny and Elaine, that's where they can, was that like their first telly thing, do you think?
No, I don't think it was, no, because I think Elaine's, I don't know, actually, I don't, was City Lights, no, must have been one of their first telly hangs. They did that together, I know, but I don't know what came first.
Well, Lindsay Smith wasn't at City Lights, so was she?
Yes, she was.
Was she really?
Yes, she was, mate, because it was in City Lights that Elaine C. Smith said, her character coined the phrase, pure dead brilliant.
Aye, mate, and I didn't know that until a couple of months
ago. And that's why Glasgow is pure dead brilliant and all that whole campaign all came for Elaine C. Smith's character.
Wow.
In City.
Do you know my earliest memory? Right, see, now, can you, any of you know what your earliest memory is if somebody was to ask you? As in, no. Ever?
In Jimmy Savile's house.
I was there a couple of weeks ago.
Were you up Glencoe, were you?
Aye. Has it still got Beast written on it? No,
but it was like, do you know that way? I just was like, because I kept going by it. I went, I'm getting to see what the crack is here, man. I want to see if there's any kind of like, utility bill still lying about James Savile BT. Do you know what I mean?
Aye, aye, aye.
Fiscally Broadband 2007, James Savile. Do you know what I mean? And then I kind of crept up to it, and then I get fear in case somebody like took a photo of me. And. Because it's nothing but traffic. It's like in the busiest road in Scotland. Do you know what I mean? I thought, I just was like, I could just imagine somebody going, is that a guy for 2 doors down? It said Jeremy Stuff.
He used to come out and wave to all the buses as he went by, like all the buses. That was the thing, that he went up to Glencoe and all the big kind of tourist buses, and there's Savile waving away to all the buses.
So that's the thing, innit? You know what I mean? Jimmy Savile, Chris Benoit. We appreciated their work rate, but, you know, you've got to separate the art for the artist, etc. Here's something I was thinking about. See these, speaking of Jimmy Savile types, when you jump on Facebook, right, I tell you what's a mad gimmick, these people that are just fucking normal people, right? Just fucking people feel like Shettleston and Mary Hill and all that, but they go out and try and hunt the paedophiles down.
The beast hunters.
The fucking beast hunters. That's a mental gimmick, isn't it?
That does.
And then you get these weird guy, these videos.
Are they not called like the wolf? Funny.
I'm laughing and it's no funny, right? But there's these videos of these guys and they're like, I'm not a paedophile. I remember seeing one. Ask my man, I'm not a pedo.
That was the same guy that went, I'm not a pedo. I work in an office.
Are they not?
I'm not a pedo. That's my mom and dad working in an office. That was the same guy. And he's like, I just wanted to take her swimming. Oh my God. Man.
They're called like the Wolf Pack. And they know what they're called, like the Wolf Pack. I'm sure they're called the Wolf Pack or something like that.
Wolf Pack is back, cousin mass destruction. Catch teeth, bad boys, and rest.
Imagine big fucking Kevin Nash turning up. Imagine some pedo, right? Some old pedo. He's trying to groom somebody online, right, and turns up expecting, right, some fucking young kid that's been hangmate and fucking big Kevin Nash is stood in there. It's your worst nightmare, isn't it?
We've got the text. We've got the text right here. That was us.
Aye, but mate, but I know it has a gimmick though, because you know they've got catchphrases and stuff like that. You know when the police comes, they go, "There's his taxi," and I'm like, oh. It's a taxi.
You know, Hank, as well, though, is it just me that Hank's there is after he does fucking anybody else?
I just think there's a want about folk, but I don't know.
But why they, you know, why does it, I don't know. What do you even say? It's one of the mental things about Facebook. Anyway, welcome to Wrestling Daft. It's a wrestling podcast. Look, this is an interesting thing. John likes to put up what's been happening this week. Let's see, from the Football Beer and Punk Rock podcast, what is this?
I've not put that, this is just the listeners, of course, but I'm just, what's been happening this week? I don't know what's been happening this week. We had AEW pay-per-view at the weekend. Cena returning to Raw, set up a match with AEW. We had Jay turning on Sammy. There's been quite a few wee bits and bobs happening this week in the world of wrestling.
Yeah, Kevin got in touch and he says, I've got a question for the boys. He says, I'm not entirely convinced that Roman Reigns will lose the titles to Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. I think that might come later in the year, so I wanted to ask you this. WWE are holding a King and Queen of the Ring pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia on the 27th of May. This will also be the day that Roman Reigns would hit 1,000 days as Universal Champion. What do you think your idea, the chances of Roman Reigns winning King of the Ring the same day he hits 1,000 days as champion? Thanks for being the best podcast available. No, all the very best to you all, Kev. Thanks, Kev. There is no way that Roman Reigns is... I would be shocked if he didn't get beat at WrestleMania.
But he makes a, this guy makes a good point, because where is this King and the Queen of the Ring held?
Saudi.
Hey, he's got a point here, because it would never put it past him for like the Saudi guys to go, see entities are then, and it's mad, any big moment.
We want it.
We want it, and we'll give you the money. It's like the boxers are then, they're hodding out now for like the Saudi money. But he has got a point in terms of that would be something that the Saudis would want to pay for. But I just think they need to go, they'll go with Cody. But you never know, mate. You never know, because everybody is expecting Cody to win. But
I think the big news of the week, however, is the Vince McMahon's mustache.
I didn't click on to it the day later that it was with fucking Berbatov.
Oh, so it was. I didn't realise that.
Aye, mate, he's stunning.
Right, hold on, guys, can I just interject here? Because that's an old photo that was doctored.
Aye,
that's an old is photo. It?
And then they doctored it. The rumours are that he did have a moustache, but there are no photographs of that.
Oh. Aye, mate, that's okay. A picture apparently for Berbatov backstage at Raw, because I think he's got the Monocle tracksuit on or something.
No, he has, I've just realised that's Dimitri.
Yeah, listen, Alan, get in touch, right? You said lots of lovely stuff about us. He also wants a shout-out for his best pal, Scott Henry. Scott's turning 30 on Friday, loves the pro wrestling. He's a mark for purchasing and wearing lucha masks after smoking the funny cigarettes. His trademark gimmick is that he will lucha for Rizla. So there you go. So a big shout out to you, Scott Hendry.
How about I say happy birthday to
Scott Hendry, if you want to. You don't need to say it. You can say it. Only say if you want to.
Yeah, fuck that. Cameo.com/Grado.
Andrew has tracked doing a Rab Florence lookalike, only he's got hair.
This is uncanny, by the way. I'll show you if you watch the video version on Patreon, you'll see this.
Wait, see when I share it, and were you in it, Rab? See the amount of people that reply saying that is Billy Corgan?
Well, this guy, check out this guy with hair, right? I don't know if you can see this so well on the screen, but look at this guy. That's fucking Rab!
I have a Rota Hepburn. I suppose he looks a wee bit. I can see a wee bit. He looks like he's he would maybe be somebody in my family. But he looks spiritually better, he looks mentally better, physically better. So really he's like a bit better version of me.
Avero to Hepburn on Instagram if you want to see that.
Shout out to Avero to Hepburn.
There you go.
There we go. Shout out to my brother out there. Noren Tolson has shared the video for the live show.
No, what?
Remember when, by the end of the night, Grado, when you were a wee bit, it had a few by that point, and you decide to do karaoke. Here we go. Here is Grado at the live show with a fantastic performance.
Yeah, how come I'm not saying this?
Do you know what? See, the next live show, I think we should sing you off again, but you do Bad Bad Man or something like that.
Oh, I'm a bad, bad man. I thought I came out of the words to that. Did I not tell somebody that I came out of the words to that?
I think you did.
What did you go like again?
I don't know. But I think you should. Oh, yeah.
I brush your mouth like Colgate. Is it that?
You should sing X Factor's music. X fucking.
There can be miracles when
no.
you believe.
No, I mean, fucking. I mean fucking Uncle Cracker.
Yo, you're dealing with the X Factor. I gotta get the guy and the woman and I'll never get that back.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I hope you hate X Factor because you ain't gonna better be like that. You know, I have told the story about when I went to an audition for the National Theatre in London. You remember that?
Yes.
What is it you said? Did you sing? What did you sing again?
So I learned the lines for this. It was a Norwegian script. It was a Norwegian thing called Peer Gynt. And I went down to London, man, and everybody was like, good on you, man. That's brilliant. That's the National Theatre, London, man. That's like heavy duty. I was like, tidy, I can't wait. So I'm learning this big Swedish play. And then they went like that. And if you get your number? I was like, what are you talking about? If you prepare the number? I was like, what? Is that a song? Norm going, yes, you have to prepare the number. I went, I don't know. I says, well, I can date Leon Jackson for the X Factor. And it's like, Kim, I mean, there's like four folks in the audition, Kim, all wearing scarves, they had French hats, big glasses and all that, and I'm pure with my phone out looking at lyrics going, many nights we pray. There can be miracles when you believe. And then, like, the piano guy goes, halfway through, the piano guy goes, oh, I know it. And then he starts playing, see, he's good. And I'm going, there can be miracles.
Beautiful. Here, listen, you need to get on the Patreon if you want to hear the stuff that we could let you hear. The stuff we were allowed to let you hear for the live show. It was good stuff. Patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. If you want to sign up to that, that's how you're going to get to hear what went on at the live show. And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at wrestlingdaft, on Insta at wrestlingdaft podcast, or just wrestlingdaft on Facebook, or just email as fuck's sake, wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Every week we separate the MFIs for the MJFs as we bury and put over stuff from the wrestling. Right, lads, there's been quite a lot going on in the wrestling. Is there anything you've enjoyed?
MJF's post-match press conference was brilliant. When he went into the press conference and just basically just fucking in character, not breaking kayfabe, eating pickles, piss take a CM Punk and just tore into all the journalists. Fucking brilliant. Brilliant. Selling the injuries. Oh, it was brilliant.
Mate, see the post-match press scrums in AEW? What a farce they are, do they know?
Did you see the MJF? The video?
Oh, that's what I mean. Brilliant. I love MJF, but see the journalists, mate, they're all just sitting there with hard-ons because they're getting into do this sort of stuff.
That's
you get what I mean? It's like, mate, I've been listening to Bischoff, Barry Meltzer and stuff like that for the stuff Meltzer's been saying recently about how he was saying that the WWE made... They cut a promo short of Cody's because they were nervous that Cody was going to get booed. And it's as if like Meltzer is wanting Cody Rhodes to get booed because he left the AEW. Bischoff was getting tore into him, man. Especially after all that stuff. You see all that shit 2 weeks ago with that Ariel Helwani and all?
Aye.
Oh my God, man. Tony Khan loosening up because he was on SmackDown. That's Helwani.
That's right.
Kim, I'm talking about Ravi Lant, right?
Fucking the idea what you're talking about. What's SmackDown?
2 weeks ago when we were in Calgary or Montreal, whatever it was, you know that really kind of, he's a kind of handsome looking UFC journalist guy, he's got the bald head.
Right, yeah.
He's quite sophisticated for like a, you know what I mean? He doesn't even look like a wrestling journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on SmackDown to kind of plug or promote like the Sammy Guevara, no, what'd you call him again? Fuck, what's his name? El Generico.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn, right. Sami Zayn match. And Tony Khan tweeted, you're a fraud, Ariel Helwani. You're as legitimate a journalist as what Tony Schiavone is. Mate, keep going. I'm making an answer to this story.
But listen,
Tony Khan done an interview with Ariel Helwani, right? Mm-hmm. Ariel Helwani was asking all these questions, and Tony Khan was going, can he answer that? Can he answer it? Legal issues, legal issues. So that Ariel Helwani came out later on and says, that was the worst interview that I've ever done. So Tony Khan's always has been after him since he kind of went on like that. Then Helwani turned up on SmackDown. He's met by a journalist, and Tony Khan was going, basically calling him out for, you know, as a journalist, you're no meant to work for any of the companies. You're meant to have no bias. So, but Helwani fucking responded to him, calling him Snowman and all that, basically insinuating that he's full of Charlie.
I love that because it just sounded like a dead serious report of what's been happening. You did up until that point. Back to the studio. Insinuating that he's full of Charlie. Back to the studio.
I'm surprised you missed. But what I'm saying is, Tony Khan's got a bite of cheek because, come on to hell, Meltzer's going to be in the payroll or something at AEW because his tongue's that much so far up AEW's farter, you would never believe it, wouldn't you know? I mean, come on, buggery.
Back to the studio. That's why we should have, a soccer Saturday style wrestling show. On a Saturday at like about 1 in the afternoon or something, where we just talk about the week's events in wrestling just like this. It'd be fucking brilliant, wouldn't it?
It'd be better, like, because I don't know how Andy can sit through these pre-show things when they're talking about a worked sport as if it's FIBA. See that? I can't see when Booker T sit there and go, I reckon he's going to win this match and say, I'll tell you, boy. You're like, mate, come on.
It's kid on for fuck's sake. It's kid on.
Do you see the WWE are potentially signing a deal to make it like you can start betting on the wrestling? You can do it in main events like Paddy Power run books and stuff, but the WWE are actually hooking up with potential bookies to start, so you can start betting.
But how can you do that? Imagine you could bet through like the WWE network or through a WWE app. You could put bets on. That'd be fucking bananas.
You can do it for the Royal Rumble, no?
You can do it for WrestleMania, but you can only do up to like a fiver or something like that. They don't let you put on a lot of money on it because if you could start fucking betting on the wrestling, there would be leaks all over the place, wouldn't there?
No, no, it is leaks all over the place. But remember, I've said this before. Me and you, our match at Orin Moore, there was a thing called McBookie.com, and they were doing it. It was like Grado and Grado and Rav versus Greg Hempel and Red Lightning, and it was like fuck, they were taking notes on it. But it only lasted a couple of hours.
What a night that was. I felt legit in that fucking Kelvin Hall that night. I felt like a real fucking big time night.
Isn't it?
Oh man. And let me tell you well, first of all, I want to put over Bobby Lashley for flinging about Uncle Howdy. it's just terrible with this fucking Bray Wyatt stuff. And it's interesting seeing loads of people that are into Bray Wyatt agreeing now. Now they've all went, oh, this is fucking shite. This is actually shite. So that's good. Seth Rollins getting knocked out by Logan Paul was good. Always like to see a guy showing a bit of arse to put her a wee angle and promote a wee fight. I think that'll be a great match. Could be a show stealer at WrestleMania, that Logan Paul Seth Rollins match.
Nah, I mean, his brother ran away from Floyd Mayweather last night. See that video?
No, I never saw that.
Shattered for old Mayweather, did he?
I didn't see MJF and Danielson, by the way, boys. I'm no watching. I'm not a fan of an Iron Man match.
I love Iron Man match.
Oh, John, geez, peace. A wrestling match shouldn't be an hour. A wrestling match should be 8 minutes.
Including entrances. it's an Iron Man match.
It was very good.
Remember back in the day, the tape going about was... The tape going about was Chris Hero versus CM Punk, 90-minute Iron Man match.
Jesus Christ.
Oh,
I'm happy to watch a match go to the 60-minute time limit or whatever. Like, I'm happy if that happens organically, but see, knowing what we're buckling down for a fucking hour or something.
Aye, mate.
Boy, man, I struggle with that. ADHD
would flare up, man.
Anyway, let's see what the punters are saying. Paul says... Baron Corbin getting buried beyond comprehension again. Poor guy isn't even good enough to be in that jobber squad. A male models wants to put her MJF best Iron Man match ever. in my opinion, interesting. A real modern classic, a youngin should analyse to death. Kev wants to put LeBron Brecker and Carmelo Hayes being made official for NXT Stand and Deliver. Very good.
Stand and Deliver. You know what that reminds me?
What?
Remember, do you remember Channel 4 done Faking It?
Yes.
Aye.
You remember that? And then they done a week at Hamelock with Andre Baker and all this.
Aye, that's right. Aye.
And they turned him into Adam. They done a gimmick on the guy, Adam Ant.
Aye.
And then, was that noise entrance music that they used?
I think it was, Faking It was a brilliant show.
So the deal was, there was like two real wrestlers and this wrestler who'd only been training a week, and the judges were wrestlers and they had to decide what one was faking it. But they go to what rang.
Right.
What if that's on Fingway? This is a job for
Ian Drew Dice Quay.
Absolutely, man.
True. I would love to see that.
Full. Oh my God!
Is it on all four?
It's on Channel 4, aye. Andre Giant. What if Mossy's on it and all that? Or this Paul? Who's that? No, Paul Trevor. Paul Volt.
Paul Volt, aye. Oh my God. Paul Volt. Gary Steele. It was that era.
Gary Steele.
Oh,
there's Mossy. There's Mossy there. Mossy's in this. I wonder if Fergo's in it, because this was when Fergo was getting trained as well.
Could be.
For those who don't know, that's Finn Balor.
Andre Baker.
Mate, the full episode is up, man.
Scott says loads to put out of Iron Man match. Despite the weak build to it, the storytelling in the match itself was absolutely flawless. MJF and the media scrum, chef's kiss. Starts going here, Jericho clean was good. FTR coming back was good. Hobbs taking the TNT was good. But he wants to bury the entire AEW women's division. Oi them, give up on it. It's dragging every show down. Every invasion angle already looks like a poor NWO rehash. This is that, but with shite wrestling, next to no likable characters, hater gets a pass. It's weird because I do think they've got the personnel. Well, they definitely get the personality. They've got a couple of absolute standouts, you know what I mean? But I'm not sure what they're doing. Bronze Cello wants to put Cena coming back for WrestleMania. Love it. And that Sandman cameo, still buckled by it. And wants to bury it, smashed in the face with a brick. Two count, hated it.
Oh, God, aye. Did you see the Adam Page Moxley match?
May interest in these kind
Grado
of death
would like
matches.
It. It's a death match. It's a death match. You'd like it, Grado.
Who, me?
Oh, do you know,
back in the day, I used to love it, but I feel as if every time I turn it on, that guy's bleeding. What'd you call him?
Oh, Moxley, aye.
Moxley, man, he's never got a blade out of his horn, the bastard.
Roshi boy wants to bury the wank who stole the TNT title belt and broke into Wardlow's car.
That was mad, wasn't it?
And wants to put old Jey Uso for working everybody brilliantly in that heel turn. Oh, I want to give a shout out to that as well. Sorry, I don't know why.
Very good.
I didn't think about that. Jey Uso has been, let's be honest here, Jey Uso has been amazing ever since the pandemic. Since he had that wee run with Roman Reigns right at the start of the Bloodline thing. That was, but the matches were brilliant. And he's just great. He's brilliant.
Why has Rikishi never been involved in any of these?
That's a great question, Grado. I wonder why Rikishi's not been involved at any point in this.
Like, he should go and like threaten to get his ass out or something like, you know what I mean? Because he's their dad. And he would be like, don't get your ass out, dad.
But there was a clip of Rikishi. Dad.
I'm going to get my ass out.
There was a clip of Rikishi. A clip of Rikishi coming off the top of the cage onto Val Venus. You mind that?
Yeah. In the back of the cart.
No, it was King of the Ring 2000.
It was into the hay, wasn't it?
Coming off of the top of the cage onto Val Venus, just in the ring, just a splash.
It was a splash, mate. It was a splash.
Yeah.
And you're thinking of the bump that he took off the cell.
The cell, that's what I'm thinking about, aye.
But he, you know, Rikishi had his side to him where it was like, he's a fucking bad man, this guy, man. He's got, you know what I mean?
But when I was a wee boy, man, I never thought at all that he was in a thong. When I was a wee guy, I just thought, that's just his gear, mate. He's just wearing, like, wee trunks. But see when I think now, that was a guy walking about in a thong. You know what I mean?
It was, aye. It was. We could yet see him. Beppe wants to put over MJF and Danielson. Wants to bury people moaning about MJF throwing water at a kid who had just sat through Hangman and Moggs stabbing each other with barbed wire and spikes. I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm in two minds a wee bit about that kind of myself. I just kind of think A, aye, I think he'll be all right. B, what is my B? I don't know. It kind of feels, I don't know, it just, it didn't pass the sniff test completely for me. I kind of felt there was something about it that just made me kind of think, well, I'm trying to think if I was at it with my Ian Wayne, if I was at it with one of my Waynes, and MJF did it. I don't know, you just smarten your way up, wouldn't you? You just kind of go, aye. It's hard to say.
What are we talking about again?
I'm talking about MJF taking the cup, taking the drink off the maw and flinging it over Wayne.
Aye, well, then I was folk kicking up hell because it was...
Aye, just that's too far, or, you know what I mean, but...
Nah, that's fine, man. As long as the AEW, they come out and give him merch and all that sort of stuff and stuff.
Oh, he was backstage, you met all his favourite wrestlers.
Aye, exactly.
Aye, it's, you know, he's going to... Like, it's a tough one. I kind of get why people think it's overstepping the mark, but I also think, like... wrestling needs to have that fucking edge of chaos about it. You know what I mean? I kind of feel that wrestling needs to have that edge of chaos. And if you're going to have your way in it, I don't know. It's a tough one. You know what I mean? It's a tough one. Andy wants to put her MJF versus Danielson at Revolution. Felt like the pay-per-view was a bit rushed overall, but the main event made up for it. Tremendous. Also put over the Jey Uso and Sammy segment. You could actually hear the mics crackle due to the loud pop when Jay hugged him. MacDow wants to put over episode 20 of the show, an old episode where Rab makes a joke about Ric Flair injecting heroin into his bell end that totally flew under the radar. I don't know what that was about. And Wrestling God wants to put over the Iron Man match. Didn't have time to watch a full pay-per-view, but for somebody with a short attention span, that match had me hooked from beginning to end. Hey, there you go. There you go.
Fair enough.
And wants to bury anybody greeting about MJ throwing a drink out of the way. And if he's still a fan when he's grown up, he will look back fondly at it. True.
Listen, that's a good shout.
Listen, if I was a wee guy and I'd been at one of the events or something, and I'm trying to think who would have been the heel when I went back in the day.
Million Dollar Man.
Sid Justice maybe or something. Like Big Sid would have been a heel. Perfect would have been a heel when I would have went when I was a wee guy. Perfect picking up a drink and flinging it over me when I was a wee guy. I'd never shut up about that, man.
But this totally reminds me, I just instantly then thought about the wee baby that was in the Nirvana album cover, and it's Willie was singing it, and then years later he sued the record company because he didn't want his baby out. So, you know what I mean? In years to come, this wee guy could go, you know, it was 20 years ago, but I'm traumatised. I want thing with. Aye. I ended up on the internet. I was a meme for years.
This is a thing. It's like, see if you were the Maw, right? Would you know I've been tempted to be like, we're not going backstage.
You'll hear from a lawyer.
You're not getting the bell ship. Yeah, you'll hear about us. How much is Tony Khan worth? How many teams does he own? How many football teams? Right, okay. No, you're all right. I don't want that T-shirt. Take that foam finger back. Take that foam finger. Or you take the foam finger because you're like, all right, so you're admitting you've done something wrong. You know what I mean? The minute you get handed that foam finger, you're admitting you get something wrong. You know what I mean? Don't be a fucking mark. Get your money. See if Big Sexy, see if that wee 6-year-old boy, 10-year-old boy, whatever it was Kevin Nash. He'd have took Tony Khan to the fucking cleaners.
I would. You're right, mate.
It's just business, baby. It's no show friends, is it?
It's show business.
You just made the list!
Right, so the list of Wrestling Daft has got 100% of the vote. It's underrated heel runs. Underrated heel runs. Grado, what about your heel run? Would you say that was an underrated heel run?
Yeah.
You hated it, Grado, didn't you?
I was...
Did you hate it? I don't think you did hate it, did you?
Nah, I didn't hate it, but I wish it was underrated.
I must. Does it not feel good coming out as a heel?
Brilliant. When it might know that, it was great, but see how the rest was a bad guy. Fuck that.
What, harder?
Aye. Putting heat on folk and all that. Sure, it's... You kind of get a break. At least when you're a good guy, you can lie in a flare and gas for air, but no, as a bad guy, you've got to keep in tap things. We keep going, so... No, not for me.
It's a harder graft. It's a hard graft being a heel. Underrated heel runs. Let me think.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
No, I'm merry a fan of the Steve Austin heel run than Maced. I need to be honest.
When you think about it, the stuff that he done with Kurt Angle,
it did
end up coming up with that watch chant that done everybody's tits for years.
That's true.
Did all the watch thing as well, didn't he? Did all the watch thing.
That stuff.
See, if you watch that back, mate, that's hilarious. Like, stuff with Taz and all that. Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin is a funny guy.
Hugging Vince McMahon with that fucking mental look he had in his face. No,
aye.
That, for me, I remember that very, very strongly, and I remember really enjoying it. I'm trying to think what other underrated heel runs of
The Rock 2003. I loved him, the Hollywood Rock, but I mean, is this underrated? I don't know if it is. You know what I mean?
No, it's probably no underrated, is it? It's probably quite... One of my favourite heel runs, and I know Jeff Jarrett was heel a lot when he was in TNA, but one of my favourite heel runs was when he was doing jiu-jitsu.
Oh, mate, that's hilarious. If you go and watch that back, he's doing it on the wings. That's great.
That was one of my favourite heel runs, actually. And on the Jeff Jarrett front, actually, his whole kind of heel spin when he came over here to the UK to fight Lionheart was great as well. That was a great wee... Now, who else? What else is a good heel run that I liked? Let me think now. Let me think. But you, John, you got any?
Can I think? I mean, I thought like that. I put immediately when I put this topic up, I thought the Daniel Bryan heel run when he was all the vegan and got all the belt, you know, and he had Big Eric Rowan beside him and all that. I thought that was really underrated.
I don't know if I watched all of that,
wooden belt and all that. I thought it was a nice touch.
I think they sold that belt and everything, didn't they?
They did. I think you'd still buy it.
Was it called the vegan title or something like that?
Aye. It's all wooden and that. It was nice. It was good.
Sometimes it's hard to remember people's... See, you're talking about an underrated one. It's probably a heel run that kind of wasn't that memorable. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of tricky. Punters are saying, anyway, Bret Hart 1997 doesn't get enough love, says Paul. The Mania 13 double turn snapping at Vince, the Canadian hero, and peeking at that ovation at Calgary Stampede in your house. Great times. No, I think Paul's got a good point there. Probably you could consider it underrated, but I don't know if it is underrated these days. I think retrospectively, a lot of people praise that run for Bret Hart, or maybe I just follow Andrew Dice Clay too closely. Stevie remembers as a bairn watching British Bulldog turn heel and being distraught at it. He was tagging with Diesel against Men in a Mission and out of nowhere knocked Nash out with a forearm and gave him the power slam. We shout out for Davy Boy there. John says the new Daniel Bryan. Oh, here, the new Daniel Bryan. That was a good run.
That's what I just said.
That was a good run. Why did you not think of that one, John?
By the way,
with the vegan and all that and the wooden belt and all that, carry on.
Anyway, do you know they sold that belt still at a normal price $400?
Do they? Oh,
the wooden one. Anyway, John liked it. They could have gotten at least another year of mileage out of it. They turned them back babyface too soon. Another favourite corporate sellout, dude love as well. Beppe says Shawn Michaels in 2005 against Hogan only lasted for about a month, but it was dynamite and gave us back the old cocky gum chewing dickhead HBK. Shame he didn't run with it for longer. That was fun. Ryan says anyone who watched it will agree Bram's ICW heel run. Which, of course, I played a part in.
Mate, see when he pile-drived Viper? Oh, that's a man.
Let me tell you something. I'd never met Bram, right? And when I turned up today that bit, I was like, I'm going to have to kind of work this bit with this big dude. You know what I mean? And I was kind of like, you know, I knew everybody else kind of that was involved, but I didn't really know him.
What did he do to you, Rab?
He didn't do anything to me. I was on his side. I did a low blow and then kind of got out the way for Bram to do his business and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But he was a total fucking sweetheart. And was very like to me, like you know, I'll make sure not to, like, I don't want to just make sure you clear out the way because I don't want to hurt you or anything like that. You know what I mean? He was like very looking out for everybody that was involved in the segment.
By the way, that segment that we're talking about is up on YouTube. Watch it, man. It's a great segment. Type in Doudrop, Piper Niven and DCT Wedding. If you've never saw it before, watch it.
And it was great to officiate a wedding, you know, in the wrestling, which is a thing you want to do. Like Bischoff, Philip Bischoff. Todd says JBL's title run in SmackDown back in the day was heavily underrated. I'm not sure that's an underrated one. You hear a lot of people say that was a great run. I like heel JBL. John says Rudo was one of the best shite cunts in wrestling. IMO, particularly his run when Grado was chasing the belt. Amazing stuff. I don't think that's an underrated run either. I think that heel run by Rudo is a fundamental foundation of the boom of British wrestling. Andy says Jinder Mahal. Stuart says Jonathan Coachman, purely for the WTF at the time. The Quiet Loaf says Hacksaw Jim Duggan joining Team Canada. That's right. God, that's a blast for the past.
Yeah.
Sean says, I don't think Hollywood Rock gets the full credit it deserves. Kane's embrace the hate angle. And Willie says, Novo is underrated as a heel run by outsiders. I'd also say Big Goldson.
Woo!
Right. So let's choose a listener of the week, lads, because I need to get the fuck out of here.
When do we ever do listener of the week?
We never do listener of the week, but we're doing it this week.
Get that guy that we only say happy birthday to.
Oh, that's nice. That's right.
Let's get to him because it's his birthday. So let's give it to Scott Hendry. Here, by the way, so while we're talking about Hendry, is Big Joe Hendry is doing well just now. He seems to be making a good splash here there.
Hi, mate. He done an interview for TNA.com and he was talking about me and you would think I was dead. Everybody loved Grado. He's just the man and they're showing like highlight packages. You know, he was great. Everybody loved him. So great and all that. It's got sad music. And I'm like, mate, I'm no fucking
sad
deep.
Sad music.
Maybe he's setting up for the big TNA comeback here, Grado.
Funnily enough, I did speak to some TNA folk about stuff.
Wait
a minute. Hold on. What's this?
It's nothing, man. Give me Nah, man. Just forget about it. Nah.
Where are you going to be showing up, Grado? I know something's in the works.
Mate, I'll not be showing up. Tell you where I'm showing up. BCW and Comanlock, April the 8th.
Let me ask you something. Here's a good question, right? See if the phone was to ring, right?
Aye.
And it was, let's say, an American organisation. No saying necessarily which one. Would you drop everything? Aye. Would you drop Crofty?
Aye.
The family bash?
Aye.
Two doors down?
Yep.
The Great Out Escape?
Scott's
Great Escape.
Scott's,
you drop a lot.
The Wayne's, the Missy's, the lot. Mate, aye, man. Like, I would. See, Wrestling America is the best time of my life, man.
Well, that was it for Wrestling Dad. Grado, up the road now.
Listen, mate. As I say, what was your hamster's name again?
Hammy.
Hammy, you'll never walk alone, son. Gone but not forgotten.
It shall sell.
Shall sell.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.